Welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580, brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Of course, along the way, if you have any questions or like to comment on today's program, you can certainly do so. 806-745-5800. 806-745-5800. And let me say good morning to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing great. Monday morning, cloudy. I mean, chance of rain. It's all good. But got a special guest on the show with us this morning you might want to introduce.
Yes, we do. Morley Robbins. Before I introduce Morley, though, I was thinking as I was driving in today, it's the five-year anniversary of Veritas Medical. The summer of 2012 is when we were established. And I thought today's show would be a good time to do a brief review of the last 5 years, because I think this moment in time and with what Morley's going to be talking about today really marks a special chapter. I think we're going to move into a new phase at Veritas Medical of being even more effective at getting down to the very root cause of stuff. But for new listeners, I want to just refresh on my background. You know, I was trained allopathic, a medical doctor, come from a family of medical doctors, two uncles, both granddads, my great-granddad. You know, I grew up in the town where my two granddads were the doctors, so I was submersed in that allopathic medical doctor mindset. Went to UT Houston Medical School, the Texas Medical Center. I forget how many acres it is, but there's two medical schools there, UT Houston and Baylor Medical, a couple nursing schools, a pharmacy school, a dental school. I don't know how many hospitals in this 20-acre complex. But
it's a lot.
MD Anderson is there. So I did my training at this state-of-the-art medical center, did a few rotations at MD Anderson, Herman Hospital, LBJ County Hospital. Back to Waco for residency, internship and residency for 3 years in Waco, and then graduated as chief resident there and graduated and went to Post, Garza County Health Clinic. Spent 7 years there being the doctor for the county, doing what I was trained to do, which was basically diagnose your symptoms. Diagnose meaning put a label to it, a disease label, hypertension or reflux or eczema or whatever the label might be. And then grab my prescription pad and write a prescription for the treatment, quote-unquote, to that disease, quote-unquote.
Yeah, right.
Which at the time I didn't understand all these quote-unquotes, but that's how we were trained. Label symptoms with a label, we call it disease, and then there's a little book that tells you what drug goes to every disease. So that's the end of the game right there. As soon as you can match up the drug to the disease label, then you're done. Next patient, and you average about 7 minute visits and you see 40 a day, and in that system you're able to make a pretty good living by seeing a high volume of patient and treating symptoms like that. But after 7 years of treating patients that way, I met a doctor who told me there was no such thing as diseases, they're all consequences, which of course I thought that was crazy until I saw the results that this doctor was getting. Even with my own patients, I saw these results, and that opened my mind to this other world of digging down to the root cause. Don't just label your symptoms with some word and match it up to a prescription drug, some chemical pharmaceutical that treats that symptom. If you have hypertension, fix it. You don't necessarily have to be on a hypertensive pharmaceutical for the rest of your life. If you have reflux, fix it. You don't have to necessarily be on Nexium for the rest of your life. And just write down from diabetes to eczema to whatever. Try to fix it. So that's what we've been doing the past 5 years, is trying to fix these diseases of inflammation. As we've talked about many times on the show, inflammation seems to be the common denominator in all these diseases, from eczema to hypertension to coronary disease to cancer to Alzheimer's to depression to autism. Inflammation is throughout all these Western diseases. So my initial thought process was, we knew inflammation was the immune system basically being turned on to fight something. So the system turns on to fight a germ or a toxin. So let's try to identify the germ or toxin and get it out of the body. So a lot of bug killing and a lot of detoxification, and inflammation would come down and we'd see a lot of good results. But over time you see these bugs and germs and toxins come back and inflammation come back. Maybe not as bad, but it would come back. And sometimes it wouldn't even go away to begin with. A lot of times it would. So then we got into this kind of juggling act of supplements and diets and these detoxification efforts and lots of things to try to keep these bugs and toxins in check. And it's okay, but that gets a little frustrating too. Chasing hormones and chasing this and that, adrenals and thyroid. And I always felt like there's just something deeper. There's another layer. Why is the thyroid not working? Why are the adrenals burnt out? Why doesn't the stomach acid pumps turn on and pump the appropriate amount of stomach acid? Why are we having to supplement people with something to help them digest their food better? But I didn't know what to do about that. I didn't know what that deeper layer, that next level down of a root cause would be. And then one of my patients introduced me to Morley Robbins, our guest today. Morley is not a physician, and I often think that's a good thing because he didn't have to go through the brainwashing that a lot of us had to go through. But as Morley will probably tell you himself, he described himself as a pre-med retread. He was on the pre-med route and then I think had some trouble with organic chemistry or something like that that we all had trouble with. But Morley ended up in hospital administration and for 30 years and consulting, but in that hospital administration realm and consulting. So he's well-versed in the conventional medical model from the business side for sure. But then Morley, like so many of us, had a physical issue, a problem, and conventional medicine didn't have a great answer. The answer I think he got was surgery, and his problem was frozen shoulder. And I don't think he wanted to opt for the surgery right away, so he went to a health food store and asked for some supplements, and they recommended a chiropractor. And he said, no, thank you. Those are quack doctors, so I need some supplements. And, well, the supplements ended up not working, so he ended up going to the chiropractor, getting fixed, and it opened his mind to this new world we call natural medicine, where the body can heal itself if you simply give it what it needs and avoid what it doesn't. So that opened Morley's eyes to natural medicine and led him on this journey of digging down deeper and deeper into root causes. So for the past 8 or 9 years or so, he's been digging through the medical literature and discovering some of the very root causes of Western disease. So anyways, this patient of mine that introduced me to Morley was having some continued symptoms, even despite being in our clinic for a year or two. And after she followed some of Morley's advice, she became dramatically better and I would say well, very well. So that opened my eyes and I started reading Morley's things and it just resonated with me as this lines up exactly with what we preach at Veritas. So we've had Morley actually come teach our practitioners. He's put a conference on for us a couple weekends ago. He'll be in this weekend doing the same thing for us, teaching us what he's learned. But I want to do a series of radio shows. Probably we won't be able to touch on everything today that we'd like to. So listeners, look forward to maybe part 2 and 3 and 4 and however many parts it takes to for us to milk all of Morley's knowledge out of him. So, Morley, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Ben. I really am delighted to be here.
Well,
that was quite an introduction.
Well, thank you. We're real excited for you to be here. You've already taught me so much, and I just want to, you know, use this platform to teach and educate all the listeners, and then obviously our members, our patients at our clinic, since we record these and put them on our website for our patients to reference too. But I kind of want to start mainly kind of like I just did with this baseline understanding for people that are new to this game that still don't even understand there's this whole other world of natural medicine. You know, can you kind of help a listener get through this process of opening their mind up to the possibility that medical doctors maybe aren't trained and know everything, that we're trained more narrowly and there is this whole other world? How could that be? Why doesn't MD Anderson know all this? Just that kind of thing. How did you overcome that? You were, you know, well entrenched in that conventional model, although not from a physician standpoint, but kind of how did you overcome some of those mental obstacles of thinking, how could there be more to this sickness and wellness puzzle out here?
Well, I think you've alluded to part of it was I wasn't brainwashed. So I was working in the industry, helping hospitals grow and manage their growth. And then in 2008, I was asked to do a forecast. I've done forecasts throughout my career, but this was a particularly important one. It was asking, what is the demand for healthcare going to be in 2025, which is just a few years away?
Mm-hmm.
And assembled a team of colleagues, and we started to delve into this. And what we saw was across the board, there was going to be a hockey stick of growth in every disease index we could find, whether we're talking about neurodegeneration, heart disease, diabetes, cancer. Didn't matter what the parameter was, there was just this explosive growth in the incidence. And really, that happened to coincide with my frozen shoulder. So I think I was, and I don't know whether there's some mysterious, you know, extraterrestrial force there, but it forced me to say, well, wait a minute, maybe there's something else going on here. And what really helped me was one of Dr. Liz's, my now wife, who was the witch doctor who cured me of my frozen shoulder. But what she did was introduce me to one of her clients who suggested that I start writing about what I was learning, because I started reading about what's really driving this growth of a disease. And one of her clients said, well, I can't help but think that maybe magnesium isn't more important than you realize. So I read Carolyn Dean's The Magnesium Miracle, and it was like reading a murder mystery, because then I suddenly realized why everyone was in the hospital. And what it really boils down to is that, you know, just like this physician that you were introduced to who said that there is no such thing as medical disease, he called it a consequence. But what I came to realize is that there's no medical disease, it's just a label, but what there is metabolic dysfunction. And so there's some metabolic pathway, some enzyme function that's not working right. And what I came to learn was that these enzymes work just like the cars we drive. When was the last time you drove a car without a key? And so, you know, unless you're Fred Flintstone, you got to have a key to start your engine. Well, every enzyme in the human body needs a key, and it turns out it's a mineral. And what's amazing is to think about the fact that there are 9,000, at least 9,000 enzymes that run the human body, and only a handful of minerals are involved. And the mineral that stands out head and shoulders above the rest is magnesium. It's involved in 42% of enzyme function. Now, it's downplayed in the literature, both the scientific literature and the lay, you know, internet articles, and so they'll say, oh, it's responsible for 300 enzymes. Well, that comes to us by way of a famous Harvard professor of physiology, Bert Valle, who just took a guess. He said, oh, I don't know. This was back in 1957. He said, oh, I don't know, it's probably around 300 enzymes. They had no idea. But now they do know, because in 2012, they mapped out what's called the magnosome, and that involved 3,751 enzymes that required magnesium. And what's important for the listeners to understand is that they've now mapped out what's called the inflammasome, and that's where inflammation starts. And it's also called the danger sensor of the cell, and it's activated by iron. And so what we'll be exploring, I'm sure, today and in subsequent conversations, is that there's this pitched battle between these two minerals, magnesium and iron, and it rivals Braveheart in terms of the intensity of the battle. And most of your listeners are probably thinking, wow, I need to get more iron, when in fact it's a very challenging and troublesome element when it is not being properly handled by key proteins and key enzymes. And we'll, I'm sure, explore that further. But the important thing is for people to realize that there's this nether world that's never talked about, but it's where the enzymes don't work right because of missing minerals. And what do minerals do? They're bringing electrons to the party. And then suddenly we're into the world of quantum mechanics. That's what Einstein was all about, trying to explain the difference between the world that Newton had discovered and then this whole world of electron flow and energy movement. And it's just as mysterious and just as powerful in the human body. It's just we've never known this, and it's increasingly becoming more apparent and more discussed. But it requires a shift in thinking to let go of labels and realize that, you mean I just need to feed my body better? You mean I need to lower my stress so that I don't keep losing magnesium and so on and so forth? So that was a real breakthrough for me, was because of my, I guess, my innocence, I didn't have the preconceived ideas of all these different disease states that you and your colleagues memorized. I just said, there's a problem, and let's begin to decipher this problem so that we can begin to correct the problem. And that was the basis that formed my website called the gotmag.org, and then subsequently the Facebook group, which is called the Magnesium Advocacy Group. And it started out with three people, and now coming up on 5 years, our anniversaries are almost identical, Ben, but coming up on 5 years on the Mag Group, and we just crossed the threshold of 107,000 people over the weekend. So it's an amazing journey that I think we've both been on, and now to have the opportunity to begin to infuse our respective thinking, because I'm a huge fan of the truth. I love the name Veritas, and I think we share that passion for, let's get down to the root cause of these issues. And what impressed me mightily when we had a chance to spend the weekend together was how quickly you and your colleagues embraced this very different world of metabolic dynamics that I don't think any of you had really been trained in, but you began to see the elegance of it and the impact of it. And I think that's only going to be to the benefit of your members going forward.
Yeah. Well, and we're very grateful for you coming down and parting. What I want to stress to the listeners is, I mean, everyone kind of looks to the MD, the medical doctor, the nurse practitioners, the PAs, as being these ultra intelligent, you know, if they say it, then it's the gospel, basically, and if they don't know it, then no one will know it. But looking back, you know, especially after that weekend with listening to you and going through your lectures and all the physiology and biochemistry you went through, looking back at medical school, those first 2 years, it was like drinking water out of a fire hydrant, they say, where it's just memorization of a lot of these pathways and a lot of the physiology and biochemistry, and you regurgitate it back for the test, and then you're kind of done. You forget 80 or 90% of that, and you really learn how to be a doctor in the last 2 years. Your third and fourth year, you're in the hospital and you're following the older doctors around and basically just learning the protocols, learning when someone comes in with chest pain, then you order this, and this test, and you give this, and this medicine, and it's just these protocols you start to learn, and really you become very well versed in pharmacology. So we're really just medical doctor / pharmacologist. We memorize all these drugs and their side effects, their interactions, their dosing, and all this stuff, and know when to give it, when not to give it, and how you can combine it with something else. And that is our real expertise, is in pharmacology. When you go back down to the biochemistry and even some of the anatomy, we really lose a lot of that. Most doctors, especially if you're 5, 10, 15 plus years into being a professional medical doctor, you've left that biochemistry way, way, way behind. So you don't remember any of that stuff, much less, and we weren't taught the depth of what you're talking about, you know, 3,000 plus enzymes that are mag dependent, and this inflammasome that's iron driven, and all this real detailed, I mean, we're talking real finite detail of these biochemical pathways. Doctors don't know this. We weren't taught that much detail to begin with, but then everything we were taught pretty much in that realm we kind of forget because we go to pharmacology school after that. So listeners just really need to get a hold of that, and that thought process in their head, that doctors know a whole lot about gathering data, ordering tests, and then the pharmacology part. But actual biochemistry and how these pathways work and how the mitochondria work and how these electrons move around inside the cell and energy is created and all these kind of things, we're not well-versed in. So we all need to go back to school in that regard if you're really wanting to drill down to the root cause. So that's kind of a tangent there, but I just really want the listeners to understand that. I want to go back to that magnesium. You said Carolyn Dean, who is a medical doctor, also wrote the book The Magnesium Miracle, and that kind of got you started in the direction of magnesium being such a key player as far as various diseases or symptoms go. It's a magnesium deficiency. And so I kind of want to spend a little time there. What caused you to move from there to these other minerals? Or just explain to the listeners a little more about what exactly magnesium's doing in the body.
And how much time do we
have? In 5 minutes, please. Maybe some highlights.
Yeah. Well, it's doing a lot. How's that? No, the way I characterize it is we have an orchestra of minerals in the body. And I want the listeners to picture that group of musicians. And before the conductor comes out, there's all sorts of noise as the musicians are, you know, getting ready for the performance. And then the conductor does come out, and they tap the podium, and then there's silence. And then the most amazing thing happens. The conductor raises their baton, and there's beautiful music. And that's magnesium. Magnesium is, in fact, the conductor of the cellular orchestra of minerals. And what's important for the listeners is to understand that there's another metal that's involved. It's called copper, and I call it bioavailable copper. And we'll get into that, I'm sure, in subsequent conversations. But bioavailable copper is like the first violinist. Now, I didn't know this for the longest time, but I've since learned that, in fact, in an orchestra, the musicians key off of the first violinist, and the first violinist keys off the conductor. And that's why they shake hands after every performance, because they know how important each other is to the actual delivery of that music. And then people are thinking, okay, so we've got the conductor, we've got magnesium, we've got the first violinist, we've got copper. So where's iron in this orchestra? Well, that's the drunk percussionist. And nothing will throw an orchestra off faster than having bad timing. And that's exactly what iron does. What I began to realize is that magnesium is involved in cell regulation, cell recovery, cell rhythm. There's so many different aspects of the elegance of the interplay of chemicals and pathways in the cell and in the tissue, that if magnesium is not present, the cell and the tissue loses that sense of rhythm. And that's magnesium, and that's what the conductor does, making sure that the orchestra doesn't lose their sense of focus. And for the first 5 years of doing this work, that's really all I focused on, was the body needs more magnesium. And practitioners were somewhat critical of me, saying, well, Morley, if it was that simple, we would have figured it out. And in my arrogance, I thought, well, you apparently don't understand it the way I do. And then I began to realize that they were right and I was wrong. So I began to look for these other players, and after about 5 years, came to understand what copper was doing, and the enzyme that makes copper usable, it's called ceruloplasmin. We'll talk more about that later. And then it wasn't until just a couple years ago that I began to discover what's the wrench in the works, and it's iron. And what I did not know until just recently, you know, several years ago, is that they've been fortifying food with iron. That this started during the Second World War in England, Canada, the U.S., and Australia, was in the early 40s, they were adding more iron to the food system. I didn't know that. And so then you begin to realize that iron and magnesium do have this dynamic relationship. And the way I characterize it is that iron eats magnesium for lunch. And when they're in opposition with each other, iron's going to win. And so suddenly I learned, why is magnesium methodically leaving the cell? Why is it always being depleted? Because of an overabundance of iron and an inability to regulate that iron. And so what the listeners need to understand is they're listening to a guy whose stage name is Magnesium Man. He started a website called gotmag.org, started a Facebook group called the Magnesium Advocacy Group, and all he writes about now is iron toxicity. and helping people understand that the food system, the pharmaceutical system, the water that we drink, you know, every facet of our environment is being overrun with too much iron, and it's having a devastating effect on those enzymes that depend on magnesium and other minerals, but there's a very significant impact. And what folks need to also know is that, you know, a lot of people are struggling with energy. You know, they just don't feel like they have enough energy. And the way we characterized it, you know, the other day when we were together is, you know, the body and the cells need to make a choice. Am I going to make energy or am I going to make exhaust? And people can think about that in the context of their car. They'd much rather have energy. They know they're going to make some exhaust, but they'd rather have more of the activity being focused on the energy. Well, energy inside the body and inside the cell, there's an actual molecule that makes that energy. It's called ATP. Its formal name is adenosine triphosphate. It's an adenosine molecule. It's actually B4, and triphosphate is three phosphate groups. Well, and that's not how it's spelled inside the cell. It's spelled magnesium ATP. And most practitioners don't know that. And when that magnesium gets cleaved off of ATP, you lose energy, and you're going to start to make more exhaust. And so a lot of the focus that we're going to get into in the work that we do is helping people hold on to that magnesium so they can make more energy. So at the very essence, magnesium is really key to making energy and making enzymes work. And that, I think, is a great way for people to kind of simplify the message, is that that's magnesium's gift. Give people energy and give them enzyme function so that they don't begin to create symptoms that seem to appear like a disease state when, in fact, it's just poor enzyme function that's causing those aches and pains and whatever else is appearing.
Yeah. Well, that's a great summary. Enzymes and energy, the two E's that magnesium is so key in. The enzymes being the key that starts the engine and makes your car go. Obviously, energy, we've talked about on this show many times about the mitochondria producing the ATP, but now we'll be more accurate with that. Magnesium ATP, that without that magnesium ATP, the cell can't function. Whatever cell that might be, your nerve cell in the brain firing off the neurons, the cardiac muscle cell squeezing the, you know, hamstring doing what it does, all the cells of the body, the eyeball cells, all your cells have to have this magnesium ATP to do the job that they're required to do. And it sounds kind of, you know, maybe too simple that down at the cellular level you get off in this one area of magnesium ATP energy. When you don't have it, it can manifest as these quote-unquote diseases like cancer. So it's kind of a leap that people have to make, that a simple thing like this, it's really not that simple when you're talking about, you know, thousands and thousands of enzymes and the intricacies of the human body and the intricacies of a cell and how it works. So you take out a key player like magnesium, and the downstream effect of that's huge. But we've got to take a break, Morley, real quick. When we come back, we'll talk a little more about iron and how we're all getting too much iron and what that does in the body. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
When in need of a new door or windows for your home, I highly recommend Day Window and Door Company of Lubbock. Now, they've been serving West Texas for over 40 years. Recipients of numerous homeowner satisfaction awards, renewal by Anderson Window Replacement recruited Day Window and Door Company because they know that a reputable dealer cannot be replaced. Renewal by Anderson is now a division of Day Window and Door Company. They never subcontract their installation, therefore they warranty their labor. They always offer free in-home estimates, referrals on request, and expert installers that are background checked, bonded, licensed, and insured. At Day Window and Door Company, it's not just a window, it's a permanent relationship. Give them a call like I did for my home at 771-4998. That's 771-4998. See the website renewalwesttexas.com. Be sure to ask about our summer specials, 771-4998.
Listen to your body. It may be telling you it's missing something. When we're missing omega-3s, we can feel run down, stiff, achy, or have a hard time focusing and handling stress. Omega-3s are vastly deficient in the American food supply, and we can't achieve optimal health without them. Nordic Naturals fish oils provide a convenient way to get the omega-3s you need and deliver industry-leading purity, freshness, and taste. Visit Natural Health Market at 4414 82nd Street in the Village Shopping Center.
For those new moms in town, Breastfeeding Boulevard at South Plains Medical Service at 2854 34th Street is the place for you. They have an extensive selection of maternity and nursing needs for you and your baby. Choose from a large selection of maternity and nursing bras and get a certified fitting while you're there as well. They also have Bosom Baby nursing pillows, Medela electric breast pumps available for purchase or rental, and a medical-grade baby scale in-house so mom or dad can stop by and get an accurate weight of your baby free of charge. Be sure to ask them about their cuddle tugs created by Jennifer Stevens, former Lady Raider basketball player. South Plains Medical Service, open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, as well as weekend appointments. Located at 2854 34th Street, give them a call so they can help you with all your nursing needs at 795-9118. That's 795-9118.
Vitamins Plus is a full-line health food store located inside Drug Emporium on the corner of 82nd Slide Road. They have one of the largest gluten-free selections in Lubbock. If they don't have what you're looking for, then it can be special ordered for you. They are Texas-owned and operated for over 20 years. Vitamins Plus carries many locally grown and produced products in the store. Good for you groceries at great for you prices. That's Vitamins Plus, 82nd Slide Road. Come by and see us today. Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Of course, You're the Cure, also brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Right here in Lubbock, veritasmedical.com. All right, special guest on the show with us today, Morley Robbins, talking all things magnesium. And so welcome back to the show, sir. Glad to have you on today's broadcast.
Glad to be here. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, we've been obviously talking about magnesium. And, you know, again, I just want to say the thing that interested me so much when I first heard this message was, you know, I'd always ask myself, well, why is the thyroid not working right? Because I'd say 80 to 90% of the patients that we were seeing at Veritas had symptoms of low thyroid. Why is the adrenal not working right? Why is the stomach acid not at the right level? Because the vast majority of our patients had symptoms of low stomach acid. Why is the vitamin D level so low? And all, and everyone, even conventional medicine has recognized this. Everyone's walking around vitamin D deficient. But why, what's the deal here? And it turns out that all these things, from your stomach acid pump to your thyroid to the vitamin D, there's a relationship of minerals with all these, and the minerals are needed for these tissues, these cells and these tissues, these organs to function properly, for these conversions to happen, for vitamin D, from the cholesterol in your skin to change into vitamin D. It's mineral dependent. That reaction, that chemical shift and chemical reaction, is dependent on minerals, and specifically magnesium. So this, again, is another layer deeper. Instead of just taking some stomach acid supplementation and vitamin D supplementation, thyroid supplementation, go deeper and get your own cells to work right again, and get the own natural biochemical processes and pathways fired back up again. So that's what we're talking about here today, this deeper level of minerals, mineral deficiency or mineral imbalance. To some certain minerals, there's too much of, other minerals, not enough of. And as Morley was talking about before the break, iron being kind of the bad big brother to magnesium and disrupting magnesium. And I want to go back to that statement you made. World War II, after World War II or during, they started putting the iron into our food, iron fortification of foods. And I'll often look at World War II and that era in American history as a key turning point in health. pre-World War II statistics show that we were one of the healthiest people groups on the planet, of the industrialized world for sure. And then post-World War II, it's been nothing but downhill, especially the past couple decades. It's been exponential, just like you talked about the hockey stick. All these diseases are going to start to skyrocket, and that's what we see across the board. Various diseases are skyrocketing. But really, World War II is when a lot of it started. And you can go back and look that probably one of the biggest things, our food supply started changing. A lot of the chemicals, I think, chemicals that were used during the war, once the war was over, all that chemical industry had to shift somewhere, so it shifted to pharmaceuticals. It's the original chemotherapy was derived from mustard gas. The water supply was, fluoride was put into the water supply, this iron fortification of our food. Just pharmaceuticals started to really skyrocket after the war. So just this whole chemical machinery started dispersing throughout our culture and our society. And the agricultural techniques started changing with the plowing and tilling and the man-made fertilizers and pesticides and all that kind of stuff started happening. And we've talked about that on the show. We've had a couple of regenerative agriculture guys on the show before, like Joel Salatin, talk about how mineral depletion of the soil is rampant because the bugs, the fungi and the bacteria that should be in the soil to liberate, and the organic matter should be in the soil all together to release the minerals into a water-soluble form for the plants to take up. That whole thing is devastated, and it really started happening since the war. So Morley, give us your take on kind of pre-World War II and post-World War II, some of these big shifts. Do you see it as I'm seeing it, that was a big shift in the medical and health of our country?
Absolutely. And just tangentially, I made a pilgrimage to Polyface Farm just to meet Joel Salatin, because I think the guy's amazing. And he speaks the truth, and certainly understands what minerals are all about. But yeah, when you're in a survival mode, you don't care what's happening to the food. You just want to get to the next day. Mm-hmm. And I think what's hard for some of the listeners to believe is that, well, how could they possibly do this? How could that have happened? Or what? Let's put it into proper context. We're supposed to believe that iron deficiency is the greatest nutrient deficiency on planet Earth. But when I see that in literature, I'm a curious George. I say, really? Is that true? And so the first thing I did was look up the composition of planet Earth. Turns out that iron is the number one element at 36%. So right out of the box, I'm a little nervous that they've called it the number one nutrient deficiency when, in fact, it's the number one element on the planet. So then that means that we've lost the ability to metabolize it, to handle it, to work with it. And so then you start to dig into it, and I wanted to find out, when did that happen? Well, again, many, many years ago, around the time of the Second World War, they did a study and discovered that 1% of the populace in any given community is pregnant. And it turns out that very often women who are pregnant do have a greater incidence of iron deficiency. I would take issue with that label, but for now let's just accept that. So we have a 1% group of people, 1% of the 100%, 1% are pregnant, they're iron deficient. And what they decided to do was to supplement the other 99% to make sure that the 1% got it. Does that pass the sniff test? Mm-hmm. No, you got to begin to say, wait a minute, whoa, what are we doing this for? And then you come to realize that for an element to be classified a carcinogen, it has to meet one of three tests. It has to either initiate cancer, promote cancer, or progress cancer. Those are the three qualifications to be called a carcinogen. Well, there's only one element on the planet that does that, and that's called iron. And so your spider sense is starting to quiver now. Well, then we find out that there's eight forms of iron that have been added to the U.S. food system, again, since the Second World War. All eight have been classified carcinogens. Ding, ding, ding. So now your spider sense is really quivering. And then you're going to really flip out when you find out that in 1957, Senator James Delaney from the state of New York, had an amendment passed in Congress called the Delaney Amendment, and it was to prohibit any known carcinogen being added to the U.S. food system, but there was one exemption, and it was called iron. So now we start having this convergence of, wait a minute, it's the biggest element on the planet, it's the number one deficiency, but it's only for the 1%, but we're being treating the 99%, and then, oh, it causes cancer? Wait a minute, and right now, cancer is slated to bypass heart disease as the number one cause of death in 2020. It's taking that position in Europe right now, but they predict by 2020 here in the U.S., cancer will surpass heart disease. And it's like, wow. And so then you have to begin to look at this whole dynamic a little bit differently and then understand what the mechanics are of iron interacting with oxygen. 65% of our bodies are oxygen. We think of it as, well, our bodies are 75% water. Well, when you break water down, most of it is oxygen. And when iron mixes with oxygen, it causes rust. I mean, we all know what a rusty nail looks like, and a rusty pipe or a rusty car. It never occurred to us that that same rusting process might be taking place inside our body. And when you begin to pull the curtain back on all of these different labels that people have been given, you know, reflux disease or heart disease or cancer or diabetes or whatever it might be, you find out that that what precedes the inflammation that you were focusing on, which was, it was absolutely the right thing to do, but there was something happening before it. It's called oxidative stress. Well, what is oxidative stress? It's just a fancy term for rust. And what's the mechanism behind oxidative stress? It's called iron mixing with oxygen. And the body is supposed to have elegant mechanisms to keep that in check, but those elegant mechanisms are all based on bioavailable copper, and that's in short supply in the U.S. food system. And so suddenly, the means to keep the iron in check is dwindling, and then we stress people out with, you know, all of the lifestyle of our world today is very stressful. Well, when you're under stress, you lose magnesium very quickly. And when you lose magnesium, and then you lose the B vitamins that go right after the magnesium, then suddenly you become much more reactive to the iron, and then the iron creates this oxidative stress. And in the literature, it's called reactive oxygen species, ROS. And they're all over every condition from, as you were talking about, reflux disease to telomere shortening. Everything in between is caused by this. And people who might be thinking about, oh, but I have MTHFR. Well, when you find out that what the reactive oxygen species that's most damaging, it's called the hydroxyl radical. And it's the most violent chemical on this planet. And it's inside our body. If there's too much iron, then what does it do? It dings DNA. Ding, ding, ding. And that process is being fueled by iron being added to our food system. And then I come to learn from one of my clients, we're taking care of his mom. He's an exercise physiologist. Well, he started digging into the composition of medications. Was mom's on 12 different medications? Every one of them has iron oxide added to it. So then you begin to wonder, why in the world will they add iron oxide to medications? It just makes no sense, including aspirin, by the way. So we have this torturous dynamic between these minerals, and this is all happening below our field of vision because we never knew about these minerals. I never knew about them until about 9 years ago, and it's why I affectionately call physicians mineral denialist. That's what the degree stands for, because you weren't taught this in medical school.
Right.
And and why would you have ever asked about it? Because you were so terrorized in that setting to memorize all those conditions and memorize the pharmacology to match the conditions, you would never think to even say, well, is there another way? And what we're learning is that it's incredibly powerful, but when you take minerals out of this process, the body doesn't work right. It's that basic. And we're talking about really tiny little elements, but they have a profound effect inside these enzymes, and so they are they're the spark plugs for the enzymes. They're what make the enzymes work. And so if people are not aware of that, then the symptoms that they have appear mysterious, and they appear like a disease, and the societal conditioning is, yeah, you do have that disease, whatever it happens to be, not knowing that it's all stemming from the same oxidative stress that is affecting everyone on the planet. It's an amazing awareness to begin to embrace that.
Yeah, and it all kind of makes sense. These disease rates that are skyrocketing now that pre-World War II were pretty minimal, timeline-wise, it lines up. But then when you just keep digging deeper and deeper into the metabolic pathways like you have, I think Morley told us that Starbucks is his primary study hall area now. He shows up there at 5 in the morning and reads and reads and reads and reads the literature. And Morley, who was that? You were quoting for us some paper that talked about iron as being the number one oxidative stressor. I mean, I think most people that kind of halfway look into where we're at now with all these diseases understand that oxidative stress is there. It's the common denominator. But I never hear anyone say, but iron's the number one driver of that. Do you recall when you were telling us that?
It's an Italian researcher, and it's about 16 syllables long, but it is a recognized fact that iron is the greatest stressor to the human body. And what people need to understand is when they hear the word stress, they need to begin thinking about the mineral magnesium. I call stress the magnesium burn rate. So that when you feel that knot in your tummy because you've got some deadline due or you had some argument with your spouse or you're in a car accident or whatever the source is, or you just got laid off from your job or whatever it happens to be, that's called stress. And when you're under that state of stress, the body is burning through magnesium at a very fast rate because we're wired as a species to deal with stress one of two ways. Either we're going to run from it or we're going to fight it. And our ancient ancestors had to make that primal choice. And what the body doesn't want when it's being faced with a mountain lion is a relaxing mineral. So the body says, must shed magnesium so I can deal with the crisis. I don't want to be chilling next to the fire when the mountain lion shows up. And so the body expunges that mineral to deal with the stress. And then what we're supposed to be able to do is to restore that mineral. But in our food system, it's very, very difficult. So that's part of this process of constantly wanting to restore these minerals. When we're thirsty, the body's looking for two elements. It's looking for H2O and the 84 minerals that our ancestors took for granted. And so we need to be constantly restoring these minerals. And with magnesium, it's important to have multiple pathways through diet, through the mineralized water, through oral supplements, and through transdermal or through using lotions and creams to restore that mineral because of its vitality. And it's a central part of our mechanism for staying in balance.
Yeah, so stress is going to burn through your magnesium, and we're probably under more stress today than ever in our history. And then iron, too much iron in the body, that's a stressor right there, and it's going to cause magnesium to burn out of the cell, to push out of the cell. So just those two things right there, too much iron from iron-fortified food, and then our modern lifestyle with the stress just totally depletes our mag. So, remineralized water, vegetables, green leafies and other vegetables, hopefully locally grown because they'll be picked, vine ripened and not picked 2 weeks early. and grown in organic soil where there's more minerals in the soil. But then Epsom salt baths, mineral oil foot baths, mineral lotions, Morley was saying. There's ways to restore this mineral since our food is so depleted. Morley, I want you to touch on back on the iron. I know a lot of listeners are probably thinking, well, my doctor said I'm anemic or I'm iron deficient and I need to be on this iron. Can you speak just a little bit, probably in the next 8 minutes or so we've got left, on testing, testing for iron deficiency? What are the fallacies of this testing? Why do so many people think they're anemic or they just need to take iron if they feel like they have low energy or something like that? Can you touch on that real quick?
Absolutely. So one of the things I have focused on is proper testing. And a lot of people, when they go to the doctor to get their physical and get their testing, the doctor will do what's called a ferritin blood test. And ferritin is called the storage protein for determining how much iron is in the body. What I've come to realize, and I've had the good fortune of talking to the world's authority on ferritin, his name is Sir Douglas Kell. He's over in England at the University of Manchester, and recently knighted for his work. He has revealed that the ferritin that's inside the cell, which is where it's supposed to be, is a very different beast than the ferritin that shows up in the blood. And the blood is outside of the cell. We think, and again, it's, the listeners have got to start to think that, well, I thought the blood was 100% accurate. It's, you know, it is, it's an important medium, but it's not the only way to measure health. But this particular marker for ferritin is very misleading. And what Dr. Kell has discovered is that there's really no relationship between the ferritin in the blood and the ferritin inside the cell. And so what I've done is developed a blood test that begins to look at other markers for iron metabolism, look at the serum level of iron, look at there's a transport protein called transferrin, and those are very important markers, coupled with four that are never tested when we're looking at iron, and that's the magnesium inside the red blood cell, the plasma level for zinc, the serum level for copper, and the serum level for this protein called ceruloplasmin. When you really begin to get into this discovery, you learn that there is no iron metabolism, and there is no copper metabolism, but there is copper iron metabolism. And it turns out there are ventriloquist act, and iron is the dummy, which means copper is running the show. And that's, your listeners have never heard that before. And in fact, maybe many of their doctors have never heard that before. And it is very well chronicled in the research that iron is entirely dependent on the function of copper in the body. And in fact, from the period of 1860 to 1972, anytime someone was having their hemoglobin measured and it registered low, doctors knew it was a shortage of copper that was causing it. Well, that period was before you even entered medical school. So then everything changed in 1972, and suddenly the emphasis shifted to ferritin, and there's a whole long explanation for why, but suffice it to say, it was not in pursuit of the truth. Let's leave it at that. And so people need to realize that there are different ways of measuring the viability and the balance of the body, and the blood tests that I've cobbled together, it's nothing unique, it's just I put parameters together that no one had ever decided to do that. But what it reveals is when the body is out of balance, and when iron looks out of balance, it's always because copper isn't working right. And it's usually because the individual is really stressed out, and when there's not enough magnesium, it affects the liver's ability to make that enzyme, ceruloplasmin, which then affects the body's ability to manage iron, and then the iron causes rust. That's it. That's the whole paradigm right there. And so I think part of the challenge now is getting listeners and getting others in the community to realize, wow, it really is that simple? Because There's so much of it that appears mysterious and complicated, and yes, it is complex, but it's not complicated. And it's a very intricate system of intercommunication between these minerals, but we've never known that. And it's been known in the research halls, and it's in the literature. I can go all the way back to the 1870s to find evidence that they knew about minerals, but it's been very carefully stored in those articles and in those books that not everyone reads. And I just happened to be a quirky guy that said, I want to begin to understand what's going on. And now what I'm seeking to do is make this information available to practitioners like yourself and to the public at large to begin to give people a choice that there really are multiple ways you can heal. And you can do it naturally, or you can do it synthetically. But I think what's important about the natural approach is, as you were alluding to at the beginning of the show, we're going to solve the problem when we do it naturally, but when we're doing it synthetically, we're just going to treat the symptoms. And we're just going to keep treating the symptoms, but we're not going to get down to the root cause. And I think what Veritas stands for is getting down to the truth, getting down to the root of the problem, and solving that, because the body has a limitless capacity to do just that. And I think that's what this whole focus on minerals does, that the minerals were for millennia in the food system, but because of the changes in our food system and in the water that we drink, we've lost that rich deposit of minerals, and now we're having to redress it differently in the modern era.
Yeah. And knowing just what little bit I've learned in the past few weeks and months of studying your work, I mean, it's my conclusion, strong belief, that basically if you can't get these minerals balanced out properly, then you won't be well, period. We may be able to get your symptoms treated well enough or supplemented well enough or diet, you know, get your diet good enough that you'll be a whole lot better and maybe even symptom-free for periods of time, but truly well, which that's what we want all of our patients to be, is well and not need a doctor. Go live your life and not even think about medical disease and cancer being the number one killer and half of America is going to have it and all that craziness. Just be well. And I don't think it's going to be possible. And then not only do I not think, I mean, I know in my heart it won't be possible without this mineral balance. And it takes me back. I mentioned it to you a couple weekends ago. I was at the International Lyme's Conference, you know, this chronic Lyme's disease or syndrome, they're calling it now, and they're actually admitting to it across America that we have a huge problem with these tick-borne bugs, Lyme's being number one. And I was at the International Conference for Lyme Disease because some of my patients had chronic Lyme, and I needed to help them, and I needed to figure out how to, you know, figure out the protocol to kill Lyme, kill that bug, so these patients could get better. And I was at that conference in 2013, and there were 10 different physicians from around the world, and they each had their own protocol on killing Lyme. And I was just scratching my head, thinking, why are the 10 different protocols? They're not even closely related, really. And by the end of the conference, I was thinking, well, I guess it's because no one really knows. If we really, really knew more about Lyme's and how to kill Lyme's and successfully do it across the board, there'd be one protocol, not 10 different ones. So it kind of left me a little let down. But then there was one lady in the crowd. She was a physician from the Northwest. She was not a presenter, but she was just in the Q&A session. She got up to mention that at her clinic, they simply rebalance the minerals. And once the minerals are balanced properly, then there are no more symptoms from Lyme disease. So they didn't actually specifically target the bug. And that stuck with me that 4 years ago. That really resonated and stuck with me. I didn't know who that was and couldn't track her down after the conference, so I never knew what to do with that. But that really resonated with my spirit that if you can support the host, if you can really get the health of your body, the immune system, the terrain, get your terrain optimized, then these bugs are secondary. The body knows what to do, and it'll take care of the Lyme or the Candida or the parasite or the Zika or the staph and strep and all these different, you know, measles, mumps, all this stuff. It's more about strengthen the host instead of attacking the guest, I think is how you put it during our conference. I told that story just to reiterate to the listeners that if you can get your terrain, your internal terrain, your energy production, get your cells healthy, meaning get your minerals balanced, then you really don't have to worry about not only the germs, but any of these metabolic diseases that we're all having to deal with. So I hate that we're out of time because there's so much more to dive into. Morley, we're going to definitely have to have you back. But any closing thoughts on your end?
I think what's important for the listeners to realize is that this process is a whole lot simpler than they realize.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just getting them to embrace the ease with which they can do this and just know that their body does have a tremendous capacity to stay in balance when it is properly nourished. That's the fundamental issue is eating real food and having a steady supply to these minerals is a game changer in terms of the body's ability to stay in balance, but also keep the pathogens in check.
Yeah, agreed. Well, please join us again in the future. We'll have to have you back more. We've got a lot more to dive into. I want to talk about vitamin D specifically. That's a hot topic these days, and some of these other disease states, and specifically how this imbalance of minerals plays into these. So, listeners, look for future shows with Morley Robbins, but his website, gotmag.org, gotmag.org, and then on Facebook, the Magnesium Advocacy Group. So, thank you, Morley Robbins, for joining us. We look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
You bet. Thank you. Of course, you've been listening to You're the Cure, brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, appreciate you. We'll see you back here next week on You're the Cure.
Thank you, Wade.